Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you so much for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yes, good morning to you guys.
How are you doing today, Paul?
Not bad. Things are going all right here. Yeah.
Paul, we want you to know that we appreciate you. Today is World Meteorological Day.
All right. I should have known that, I guess, but thanks for reminding me.
I had a feeling that you might not know, Paul, and I don't blame you. We should be celebrating it more. Especially if you knew, we'd probably get the day off, right? You would think, let us fend for ourselves when it comes to this whole thing, see how we do. The next time you don't appreciate your weather person, try that. Try to see how that goes.
Exactly.
Paul, I want to keep you too long, but I do appreciate you guys. And please say hi to all of our friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center. You guys are the best in the business.
Oh, thank you for that. And, we definitely enjoy our renewed relationship here. And it's certainly it's going to be a continued pretty quiet trend here for us to end the week here to tomorrow. But still some uncertainties regarding the system that comes in Friday night and a Saturday with the track of a low that's going to be building in from the southwest. Some indications of a potential for snow accumulations coming our way late Friday night into Saturday. So we'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully have a better idea tomorrow when we talk. Otherwise, staying with some sunny breaks along with some clouds today. Highs about 42, 20 tonight with a clear sky. And then for Friday, some sun and mid-40s. 27 Friday night, that chance for light snow coming in late, maybe some snow into Saturday with a low at 27 Friday night. Near 40 on Saturday with some light snow through midday, and then we'll fall off to about 25 Saturday night. Mid-40s Sunday, partly sunny, and then highs around 43. Breaks of sun, some clouds Monday. Still quiet into Tuesday highs, still hanging right around 40 degrees at that point. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Not bad. We'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Paul, exactly. So much. And again, happy World Meteorological Day.
Thank you for that. so far, you've been the only one that realized that, so I appreciate it.
Nice. Yeah.
We got you, Paul.
We got you.
Yeah.
Take care. Have a good one. We'll talk tomorrow, Paul.
Sounds good. You guys, too.
Mm. Thank you, Paul. We'll get our audience ready for the weekend tomorrow with Paul. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope more people say it to him.
Yeah.
I hope more people. They should. They should. I'm serious. Think about what we'd be like without people like Paul. It'd be a lot rougher.
Basically, our weather reports would be, well, right now it looks in our immediate area, it looks kind of sunny, a little over cloudy. I see a little blue sky. There, you're done.
Yeah. Same sounder kicks in, you know, and now with a weather report, it's just Seth outside. Yeah. It's awfully windy, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then Betty calls in from the west side of town. Well, my elbow says it's going to rain later today.
Yes, yes.
Yes. My lumbago. Oh, man.
Every time we give the temps, 20-ish, yeah. I think. It feels 20s.
Yeah, is that what it feels like out there?
You know, that no set temperature. Yeah, it'd be a lot rougher. Big shout out to all of our meteorological department, all the great people, the Jim Cantores, the people out there.
Yes.
I don't know. To me, I love those people. I In another life, I think that might have been a gig for me. That might have been a job, yeah. We're going to get into some fun stuff to kick off this hour. Of course, we got Misty's Menu right around the corner after this segment. Looking forward to celebrating all you guys and talking about our good friends over at Misty's. And we'll get into this whole how many percent of kids wash their hands in the bathroom.
But for don't think we want to know.
No, I know. You're so right.
The
about
horror.
That. Now, here's an interesting one, and I don't know if there is any chance that this will taste good or not, but it is available. Powdered beer is now something that exists.
Oh, man.
A German brewery that's been around since the 1500s came up with it.
Hmm.
It works the same way as instant coffee. You just mix it with water and stir. It's apparently not the first time someone's made powdered beer, but this one's carbonated, and that's a first.
Wow. Mm.
They claim it looks and tastes just like regular beer, which is hard to believe, but they're saying it does.
Okay.
The current version is non-alcoholic.
Okay.
But they say a boozy version will be available in the next few months.
A boozy version.
Interesting.
And they are gonna start selling it globally. It's something you could buy yourself, or bars might mix it with water to save money.
Ooh. That sounds like a bad idea.
Yep.
Well, I mean, can't taste the difference.
I don't know.
So why even do this? The answer is the environment. It's cheaper and easier to transport, so there is a much smaller carbon footprint.
Okay.
It's a part of a string of weird beers that they've been working on. For example, I want that.
That's good.
Yes, that's a brand right there. For example, they've got a bath beer in the works that's specifically made for you to bathe in.
What?
That's weird.
What could go wrong there? It's not as if people don't drown or drink and drive or anything like that already.
No, but I just want to smell like I just drank a whole bunch of beer.
One of the greater dangers is swimming while drunk.
It is.
Like, that seems like a really dumb idea. But bath beer sounds really dumb to me.
Somebody walks up to you. What, did you bathe in beer? Yes.
Actually, yes, I did. And might I say, you are looking very fine today, all five of you. The environmental thing is going to pull you in. It's going to get a lot of people. It's going to get most people to want to listen in on this and such.
Sure.
I think, and I'm not taking anything from that at all.
Yeah.
But I do wonder who is going to actually use this. Outside of maybe bars could do that. I do think that that's an option. And is anybody else surprised? Because I read this, and I immediately, I'll be honest, I immediately thought of an American company doing something like this or what have you. I did not expect, I never saw coming, a German brewery that has been around since the 1500s. That's pretty cool.
That's the homeland of so many beers that we're familiar with, yeah.
So it warrants the question, since this is German beer, do you have to mix it with warm water?
Good question.
That's a good question. It doesn't say.
Well, because also, you know, they compare it to coffee, instant coffee. You have to mix that with boiling water.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
I wonder if that's something they're still working out or not.
Yeah.
Not sure. Good question, though. Yes. We'll ask them. We'll get them on.
We'll get
Pam, can we get them on Morning Magazine?
Yeah. They always speak German, but, you know.
Why haven't we interviewed a brewer on Morning Magazine? We should.
We should. We got a couple in town.
Yeah. We got several around. We should get them on here. I think that'd be a good interview. It'd be interesting. Bring samples. No, kidding. Now we're going to get into the one that none of us adults really want to know. What is the number one lie that your kid tells you? In a survey, 59% of adults say that when they were kids, they'd just pretend to wash their hands in the bathroom. They'd run the water for a little bit, turn it off, and then walk out. Classic kid behavior. Also, takes longer to do that than to actually wash your hands.
Exactly. Might as well just, you know.
In their heads, they think it takes the same amount of time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't.
No.
So it's not surprising that now, as adults, only 25% of parents believe that their kids wash their hands as much as they say they do. Dads are more gullible. 60% of fathers say that they think their kids do wash their hands most of the time, but only 51% of mothers agree with that. Moms know.
That's very true. We have a great indicator in our house because our youngest, we always know that he has washed his hand after he's gone to the bathroom because his hands come out dripping wet.
Yeah.
the whole towel thing, usage? You know, hasn't gotten through to him yet, but.
I figured out how to tell if my kids were by my own actions. Any woman I've ever lived with, from my mother to my ex-wife to, you know, any girlfriend or anything like that, I am a pretty good, roommate. I pick up after myself a lot of these things and stuff. If there is one huge pet peeve that I've been told, at least, there's probably plenty more, but if there's one for sure that I've heard plenty about, it's I wash my hands, I leave the bathroom, and there is a mini puddle on the sink after I'm done.
Right, right.
I have big hands. I get water all over the place, and I don't always remember to wipe off the sink when I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to tell easily when my kids didn't wash their hands because that sink was completely spotless. But when they did wash their hands, there was a puddle, like a big, like you could dive into on the sink counter.
Well, I know they were doing something, so yeah.
Didn't have to be Columbo to figure this one out.
No, no.
That's an interesting one, though, too. And really, I think one of the things that really I would say that helped my kids was putting this, you know, you're only hurting yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not entirely true because germs can be spread to other people and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I really think when you if there's one thing that I think most of us do remember, it's and maybe you don't remember the specific moment, but you remember what it was like when you were treated like an adult. When an adult talked to you and treated you like a grown-up with respect and didn't talk down to you or use baby talk or treat you like you didn't understand. Kids understand a heck of a lot more than maybe we want them to and certainly more than we understand that they do.
Right.
It is the nature of life. We forget certain things as we get older, just like they used to say that youth is wasted on the young and that kind of thing.
Right.
Like, this is just the way life works. Mm-hmm. But in that, I think it's good as adults to remember these things and also kind of help kids with that and like treat them like an adult and say, hey, you're only hurting yourself with this. You don't like getting sick, do you? You don't like having a runny nose. You don't like whatever. You not being able to go run and play with your friends like you like to. Washing your hands is part of this, part of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think you have to trick kids. I don't think you have to con kids. Like, sometimes you do, certainly. That's why conning was invented. But I don't think that you have to do this more as often as you think.
No, I don't think so.
But the reminding part you have to do.
Yeah.
To get them to the point where you need to, yeah.
Some of that never ends.
We could all attest to that, right? Mm-hmm. We could ask our parents, and they would tell us exactly.
I was just going to say.
What they still have to remind us of, right?
You ask Miss Pam Stern-Mailoff, and I have a gag guarantee she's got a list. Like, put some time aside, because it's just going to be a while. You think it's tough putting up with me now. Imagine me as a kid. Take a break. We will get to Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, where you know we're locally grown radio. It's the normal one. Okay.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at Misty's Menu. We say a great big good morning to all of our friends over at Misty's. They are open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. You want an amazing atmosphere, wonderful food, awesome people, just really awesome people. Go ahead and treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now and say good morning to all of our friends over there. Mm-hmm. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you as we dive into our birthday and anniversary club. Do want to remind you guys, get us more of these. We got 4 qualifiers today.
Nice.
We want even more than that. We want to spend more time on this than our celebrity birthdays and all that.
Yes,
that'd
be great.
We want to celebrate our local people. Mm-hmm. Get us these. Send them to info@WFHR.com, or you can go ahead and send it to us on Facebook. Direct message us there, just like our page on Facebook. Fill out the survey for the kitchens open while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And send us your birthdays and anniversaries. You can also email us. You can email me, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. And as a side note to everybody, that's pretty much the email address for all of our staff. You just insert the first name, dot, last name, and, you know, civicmedia.us. If you need to reach any of our staff, you want to get a news story to Melissa, you want to tell Seth that you actually love his bumper work and all of his sound production, don't listen to James. You can go ahead and email him as well. I encourage you to do that, everybody. Seth, I do need you to do a little more work this morning. Give me a 1 through 4.
We'll go to the end. 4.
Ah, there we go. My favorite number. There we go. Got ourselves our qualifier, and we can dive right into the birthdays. First up, wish a good friend of ours a happy birthday, Angie Locks.
Happy birthday, Angie.
Angie used to work with the United Way and worked in town here and everything. Her and her husband moved, I believe, to Wausau a couple of years back. But Angie, one of the sweeter, good, nicer people you're going to meet. Really helped me when I first started in this gig, feeling comfortable with the job and working very well, you know, being understanding and patient with stuff. Angie's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I send a very happy birthday to Peg Drawlinger.
Peg, happy birthday.
Peg? Peg, it will come back to you. I'm so sorry, Peg. I'm so very sorry.
Man.
It sounded funnier in my head before I said it. I'm a Steely Dan fan. I can't help myself.
Man.
Peg, we wish you a great day. I should let Peg qualify just for that bad joke. Enjoy your day, Peg. Have a great one. We hope it's a good one for you. And also want to wish a very happy birthday to Barb Hittner.
Barb, happy birthday.
We had Katrina on, of course, yesterday, and Barb is Katrina and Steven and other sisters' mom and the wife of Mike Hittner, who joins us all the time. If you have not met Barb Hittner, I feel bad for you, actually, because that is one of the nicest, greatest, most genuinely sweet people I've ever met in my life, and I've met her, like, for a minute, and I will never forget her. She's a very, very cool human being, incredible, like,
nice.
Person as well, and done a lot for our community. We appreciate you, Barb, and I appreciate you being an amazing mother too and raising some amazing kids. Everything else that you do as a human being. Have a great day, Barb. Also, I want to wish a happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Ned and Cammy Kubitschek.
Oh,
congratulations.
Have a very good anniversary.
Ned and Cammy, we wish you a great one. Hope it's a good day for you. By the way, Cammy spells her K-A-M-I, and I love that spelling.
Ooh,
every year we usually have this anniversary, and every year I look at it. I love that spelling, Cammy. That's
nice.
Awesome. Enjoy your day, Ned and Cammy. We hope it's a great one for you. It's Thursday. Celebrate right into the weekend.
Yes.
Take this into the weekend, you two, and enjoy. You deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're our qualifiers today. We move on to some celebrity names. First up, I want to wish a happy birthday to Vanessa Morgan, 31. She's Tony Topaz on Riverdale. She was in the Shannara Chronicles and My Babysitter's a Vampire. I have no idea what any of those are, but they all sound a little interesting. I'll admit, My Babysitter's a Vampire sounds a little interesting.
Yes.
Kyrie Irving is 31 today, current Dallas Mavericks point guard. Who knows where he'll be in the next season.
Or next week. Or
we've come a long way from the Uncle Drew thing. Kyrie Irving has come out with some anti-Semitic stuff. He has come out as being a flat earther, a lot of these things. Obviously, me and Kyrie Irving ain't going to have a beer together anytime soon.
Right.
But that being said, he's got some of the best handles I've ever seen in basketball.
Yep.
He has got incredible skills. He hit the game-winning shot for Cleveland to win their title.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen without that shot, possibly. He's got things that are noteworthy about his career that are positives.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, to me, a spoiled brat who goes down these rabbit holes on the internet and should have has much more intelligence and has a bigger platform that should be held is held accountable for these things, but also should be entitled to have his opinion.
Right.
I think that the NBA does a really good job with a lot of things. They were very late on the Kyrie anti-Semitic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also, I think, they overdid it with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is still America. And you have freedom of thought, freedom of speech. That comes with accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not, I will always fight for free speech. I will always fight for that, even when it comes to anti-Semitic talk and those things. Because it's way too, freedom of speech is more important than anyone individual and their feelings.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for him, it's not just, you know, some of his off the court things. It's the his clubhouse shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
What he does to teams. I mean, he basically destroyed a team before then just left. So, I mean, he's
done it three times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we got to take that into what you said. He's a great one of the best ball handlers in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
But all this baggage that comes with it.
Not worth it. Not worth it.
Yeah.
I'd rather, if you told me my team could win a championship with him on it, pass. I'll try another way. I am saying that as a Bulls fan who got to see six championships, so it's a little easier for me to say that.
I
realized as I was saying that, I'm like, well, I also have been spoiled.
One thing makes me smile, now he's Mark Cuban's problem. So, hey, have fun with that, Mark.
That is funny. That is funny. Brett Aldridge is 37, country singer and songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Michelle Monaghan is 47. Tom Cruise's wife, Julie, in the Mission Impossible movies. She's Mark Wahlberg's wife in the Patriot Days. Woody Harrelson's wife in the first season of True Detective. Michelle Moynihan's a really good actress, and all they ever do is type her.
Yeah,
all she ever gets to do is play the wife.
Come on now.
And usually the wife that has some kind of like something in her that you don't like, that the audience isn't going to like. She's a good actress, though. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see her play something other than a wife.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Another good actress, Carrie Russell, is 47 today.
Wow. Oh, man.
The Americans and Felicity used to be a Mouseketeer with Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, and Justin Timberlake. I didn't know that part.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that either.
Famously cut her hair, and people blame that for Felicity not working out. The ratings for Felicity were going down long before that. Unfortunately, Carrie is an example to all of us actors of you don't break contract. You don't. She had it in her contract. She couldn't cut her hair. She did it anyway. That was the thing that got her hurt in her career more than the audience and fans think that it was the ratings of Felicity going downhill, and that was that. It was that they couldn't trust her. They felt like they couldn't trust her to own up to her contract. And that's what got her blackballed for a while there. She's a good actress, fought through it, and you know, showed up in a Mission Impossible movie. Similar, interesting connection there with Monahan.
Yep.
And has gone
her
on
in August Rush.
Yes.
That was a really good movie.
Really good movie. Thank you, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, Mel, I think we do need your volume up a notch.
Just a
dodge. I don't want to miss anything. I feel like I missed a couple of things you said today, and maybe it's just my hearing. My hearing is not getting better.
It'll be fine. She can do it up a little.
I'm a little worried about my hearing, actually.
I can up it. Is that better?
That is better.
There you go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Randall Park is 49. Fantastic comedian and writer.
I love Randall Park.
He is so darn he's funny. He's good. Luis on Fresh Off the Boat. Great show. Didn't last very long, but a very important show, I think, especially as we go on in time and representation, how much that matters.
Yes.
But Jimmy Woo in the MCU. He's a very likable guy.
He was in the recent show, and I don't know if it's still going on or if they completed the Blockbuster.
Yeah.
He's also the lead in that one, and he has this ability to play, I don't know what even to call it, like the deadpan geekiness.
Yeah.
He is like, he's so good at that. He's just really good.
I think that's a perfect way to describe it.
Yes.
Always Be My Maybe is arguably his greatest performance. If you get a chance to see that, very, very strong performance in that. And good actor. I like him.
I like him too.
That's the way I'm going to think of it now too, though. That's a great way to describe what he does.
Deadpan geeky.
Yeah, there you go.
Jason Kidd, the coach of Kyrie Irving,
right now,
who I believe has better handles, even maybe at 50. Happy 50th birthday! Used to also coach, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks. A great NBA player, one of my favorite point guards of all time.
He was awesome.
Poe is 55. Made me feel very old.
Oh my gosh!
A lot of us in our generation remember Angry Johnny. That was her big hit. Mm-hmm. She had a couple. The whole album was actually. I got the album because that back then, you know, that you couldn't get singles as much. And the whole album was actually pretty good.
She is still going strong on She's always been like an internet person. She always really good use of even before social media and all that. So she's still going strong on the online. So.
One of my favorites, Damon Albarn. Albarn is 55, guitarist and singer in Blur, and now Woo-hoo! The Gorillaz. Nicely done. I at the time the Blur was coming out, Oasis had already kind of hit the fold, and where there was the English invasion, then there was the English like invasion, where people just didn't want got burnt out right away from Oasis, and they had no time for Blur. There was this kind of like almost like hip hop rivalry between Blur and Oasis, and I am so happy. So very, very happy that Oasis is barely around anymore, whereas Damon Albarn is selling out stadiums with the Gorillaz.
With Gorillaz and all that, yeah.
He's incredibly talented.
Yes.
There's a handful of songs by Blur that I would encourage people to listen to if you don't believe me.
Because
his songwriting, his writing, his layering music, very good.
Yep.
Let's see here. Hope Davis is 59. She's the ruthless mob boss, mob mom, and Gina Baxter in Your Honor. She was also Iron Man's mom in Captain America: Civil War. Great actress, great actress. Been around a long time doing this. The great Catherine Keener is 64.
Oh.
We got a lot of underrated actresses in this celebrating birthdays today. Again, another one that doesn't get a lot of credit. She was Jim Carrey's sister, Dee Dee, in Kidding. Trish in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. She was also really good in Get Out. Great actor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she was in The Adam Project.
Yes.
I just saw that. That was really good.
I love, love, love Amanda Plummer. Happy 66th birthday, yes. The Honey Bunny. Honey Bunny in Pulp Fiction. She was the tribute wireless in the second Hunger Games movie. Amanda Plummer, like, I guarantee you've seen her.
Yes.
Of course, the daughter of Christopher Plummer. Not
good pedigree.
Yeah. Christopher Plummer. Dang,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Yeah.
You talk about underappreciated actors.
Yeah, no kidding.
And celebrating a very, very, very happy birthday, 70th birthday to Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Oh.
Gotta say it twice. Gotta say it twice.
Yes, you do.
Ain't nobody, I'm every woman through the fire, but I feel for you. I don't care if I'm 90 years old and I'm in a wheelchair. I will get up and groove to that song.
That plus, she sings the theme song to The Kitchen's Open.
It's true. It's true.
Tell me something good.
Yep. I actually think that Chaka Khan is underappreciated.
I agree,
just especially as a kid of the 80s. Her hair too.
Oh my gosh,
great hair. And speaking of the 80s, we go to people no longer with us and celebrate Rick Ocasek.
Oh, that's, I had forgotten he'd passed. Oh my gosh.
Born in 1944, passed away in 2019, lead singer and songwriter for The Cars. Mm-hmm. Rick Ocasek, one of those guys that really helped like that style of music get to where it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we give a lot of respect to The Cars, and I don't know if we should or we shouldn't, but I think that people who really like music, like production, they get it. They understand mm-hmm. that there should be some respect to that band and to Rick Ocasek.
I would say they were able to do something that's very difficult to do. They transcended genres in a way I've not seen. You will hear The Cars on classic rock radio.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear The Cars, of course, on 80s radio, but you also hear The Cars on adult contemporary radio.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to give them credit for being able to do that. And yeah. Rick Ocasek was their lead songwriter, so he had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a break, but one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Angie, to Peg, to Barb, and a happy anniversary to our qualifiers, Ned and Cami Kubischek.
All right. Have fun, everyone.
Yes, enjoy.
Sit back and take a listen to Melissa's News, and then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 Stateway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Ooh, bop, bop, bop. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Some of the greatest harmonies you will ever hear, the mm-hmm. ladies of En Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody.
Yeah.
We are going to take you, of course, through this segment. We'll take you up to the top of the hour. Don't forget, kicking off the 9 o'clock hour will be our friends Madison and the gang from the Southwood County Humane Society. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
For right now, public bathrooms are one of the grossest places we encounter on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So we've come up with a few tricks over the years. Someone asked people about different tactics to avoid germs in public restrooms.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, learn to hover. That seems to be a theme throughout this.
Black magic so you can levitate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Here are five of them and how common they are. Using a paper towel to open doors or turn faucets.
Mm-hmm.
62% of us do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see that quite a bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've actually started putting the garbage cans next to the door so people can do that.
Exactly.
And still throw their paper
mm-hmm.
towel away.
Mm-hmm. Flushing the toilet with your foot. 43% of us do that.
That, which is somewhat awkward. Okay, so I'm guessing it's different because, of course, men also have, you know, urinals that we can use, and that's a little different.
The handle for that one's a lot taller.
Yeah,
right?
That's up above where the the firing line, as it were, is. So,
Batma.
Yeah,
here we go.
But what about the automatic flushers, which never work at the right time?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
I was in the restroom in Madison at the mall right when you first get into Madison coming from this way and stuff. I think it's the East Town Mall.
Either East or West Town.
It's the West Town Mall. I was in there and I'm in the bathroom and there was somebody, I don't know what was going on. They definitely weren't disabled, but there was somebody in the disabled one and they were, I don't know what was going on in there, but they're like literally bumping up against the wall and stuff like that. And there's a line of people and everything. Mm-hmm. So we're all just standing. all of a sudden, we hear whatever is going on in there. The guy, he must have been trying to hit it with his foot because he fell backwards into the door and knocked the door off its hinge and everything, fell on his back.
Oh, no.
It was all this and everything. The guy did all this, got up, and ran. And this was a guy who was much older than me. Like, this is something you would expect a little kid to do. Yeah. This guy had to have been at least 50-something. And got up, and I don't know how he shot up as quick as he did, but he shot up and ran out of there like a little kid getting caught with something or whatever.
Oh,
like, it was
my
hilarious.
Goodness.
One
oh, that's
of the
funny.
Funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So worried about touching that, and then he never washed his hands.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Little coda on that story, yeah.
Hovering over the toilet seat. 31% of us do that. So that probably means most women do this one, of course. I know I've even tried that one.
That wouldn't work for me.
It didn't work very well for me.
No.
Opening and closing doors with your butt or your hip. 27% of us do that. I don't know who's opening doors with their hip.
If you can do that, that's a neat trick.
Yeah. Those are some hips.
Yeah, if it opens toward you, that'd be difficult.
Maybe Shakira
but I like
can do
the
that.
Ones now that.
Nice.
My hips don't lie and open doors. I like the little thing that they're putting on the bottom of doors now.
Oh, yeah.
You open with your foot.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying. Yep.
I mean, obviously, that's not going to work for a door that latches, but for swinging doors.
It's a help. It's an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
makes it a little bit better. That's for sure. And using your elbow to start the hand dryer or paper towel dispenser.
Mm-hmm.
20% of us do that.
Well, and a lot of them are motion sensored now, so you spend a lot more time just trying to get them to turn on. Like, where do I put my hand? And then some places will put the handwritten notes. Put your hand all the way under.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a little surprised that these percentages are so low with all of these. I know that 62% of people use the paper towel to turn faucets and everything, but that's the highest one. The 43% of the toilet with your foot, 31% with the hovering, 27% opening doors with your hip or butt, 20% with using your elbow with the hair dryer and all that. Mm-hmm. So all these are very low. That seems to me very like a lot of germs going around. It's not as if any of these techniques are perfect ways of like, you know, we just hope that there are a little less germs. They're a little bit better.
Yeah.
But this feels like one of those things that we very similar to toilet paper that we really should be figuring out.
Yes, indeed.
Some bathrooms are cleaner than others, too.
That's for
so
sure.
There is certain circumstances where I might try to hover if I was a little sketched out by the bathroom, but there was no other option.
Right.
But I don't know. Typically, I used to clean bathrooms for a living. So I appreciate the people that do that job.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Especially when it comes to like the public waste stations, the people that clean those things.
Yeah. Rest stops. Yeah. Rest stops. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will say, I've had a lot of people, like I mentioned, that the waste stations here in the, like Illinois, Wisconsin, not bad. Not bad.
No.
A lot more complaints about other ones.
Of all the things that people make fun of the state of Illinois about, their rest stops are awesome.
Yeah,
they're nice and clean, and they're very modern. You can always tell which states really care about their waste.
Because
you go, if you drive, you know, like if you do the trip like I do a lot down to South Carolina, you go through each state, you can definitely see. Illinois, very good. Kentucky, not so much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. We're locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. You got Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We're going to be joined by Madison and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society. When we get done with this segment here, we take it to the top of the hour and all that. They'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's an interesting poll, I should say. Mm-hmm. Businesses have been hanging up signs like no shirt, no shoes, no service for more than 60 years.
Wow.
That's interesting in itself.
A lot of shirtless, shoeless people before that, I'm telling you.
Yeah. but now some people think it should be scrapped. In a new poll, 13% of people said that stories and stores and restaurants should allow people to go barefoot. And if you break that down, it was more popular among male young adults, primarily living out west. Which, of course, makes sense. Grandma Betty in Ohio isn't going to Arby's barefoot.
No, she is not.
When it's a total mess outside 10 months out of the year, especially. The poll also asked if people would choose to go barefoot in public if there weren't social norms or rules around wearing socks and shoes. In that case, 6% of people claimed they'd always go barefoot. Another 18% said that they do it much more often, and 19% said that they might occasionally. 52% said that they'd never do it. They didn't ask about going into restaurants without a shirt, thankfully.
Thank God. Thank God.
Oh. Man, woman, alien, I don't care. I don't want to see you without your shirt off when we're eating.
Please. Please.
Unless it is the 4th of July, I don't want to see it. Even then, I don't want to see it, but at least I understand.
And you're outside.
You're outside. I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. That's your freedom. This 13% of people that said that stores should allow people to go barefoot, I think that's interesting, and it's a low number, but you flip that, and on the other side of that, the amount of people that believe we should keep this in place.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because, I mean, that's the math I'm seeing here,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, exactly. 80% something, yeah, so yeah. You're doing all right.
I feel like we should keep this in place. Yes. I feel like the majority of us agree that this is the way, you know, the way we should go. I do think, though, that going barefoot is, I like going barefoot. I prefer to be barefoot whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in the Midwest. It feels like there are 3 weeks of the year I can do that.
Very small window that you can do that, especially outside.
I do have to send a shout out to our partner here in radio, Melissa, because Melissa, some mornings she'll be bopping around here without shoes on, and that reminded me of how much I miss doing that. I used to do it all the time back in the day because it was just me in the studio.
Exactly,
there was nobody else there and everything. But I miss doing that. I do it from time to time now, not so much right in this time of year. But,
right.
Yeah. During the summer? Oh, yeah. Any chance I get.
Is it more socially acceptable for women to do that in public, to take their shoes off?
Probably.
Or not?
Yeah.
You think so?
I would say so. I don't... I don't feel confident saying that, but I would say yeah. Yeah.
Well, and part of it, I think, is the fact that for so long, society tried to cram women's feet into these impossible shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Why?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I just know.
I mean, we do have far more uncomfortable styles of shoes than you guys do.
Yes.
But indeed. The biggest reason I do it when I'm at the studio now is because I wear winter boots.
True.
I'm not going to run around inside with winter boots on, so often I just take them off. But I don't bring another pair of shoes.
Well, what the heck? Jeez.
So I'm
being all nice, and then she's just lazy. So, okay, I see what it is.
But I think you're not wrong, Seth. Women's feet are typically smaller, and they don't often smell bad. Like men's feet can.
It seems to be the case. It really does.
True. Speaking truth.
Yeah.
So true. I have tried my whole life. I don't think my feet are like level of like they're horrible. Like you could do a horror movie on them or something like that. But my feet have always been rough when it comes to that.
Okay.
There are so many things I have done over the years to try to keep my feet smelling better. Yeah, I change my socks once a day at least.
Yeah, right. Like,
yeah,
right,
all those things.
Yeah.
It's another reason why I like being barefoot though, because my feet don't seem to stink when I'm barefoot.
Oh yes, yeah.
That, which is weird.
When they're free.
Yes. It's weird, but it also, I think that adds up. I will say this as well. As much as I love being barefoot, I am a shoe guy. I'm not the guy that's going to spend $500 on a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
But I do, like, growing up, you get one pair, and that's got to last you 2 years. So I was told myself as a kid, if I had money one day, I would get myself more shoes.
Right.
I've got about 4 or 5 pairs. I'm not insane or anything like that. But 13-year-old Jimmy would think that that's like living large. Yeah. Like, I'm a baller.
Wow, 5 pairs of shoes.
Yeah. It, you know, if you listen to me long enough, you see that some parts of me have not grown up since 13-year-old me. That is one of them. I don't think I could give that part up. I do like shoes. I do mm-hmm. think that some styles of shoes are pretty cool and everything and that. So I think that but I was thinking of this in a bigger sense of, let's say as a society we had never had shoes. But this was never a thing. There was no social norms about it or anything. Mm-hmm. Like how we would be then. And thinking about it that way, I think one way or another, we would have eventually invented some type of shoe wear. Mm-hmm. Something
well,
for
we
that.
We would have had to protect our feet from the elements, from, you know, dangerous, sharp, pokey things.
Yeah. Fire ants, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sports.
Just sports in general.
Just sports. Yeah. Just throw that in.
Okay, now I got to real quick on this one because I like what you're talking about shoes, James, because I did. If you have a pair of shoes that stand out, you will get lots of attention.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The greatest pair of shoes I ever owned were a pair of sneakers. They were blue and yellow patent leather sneakers.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
And I got more comments about those shoes than anything I've ever worn in my life. I love those shoes. Those were some of the best shoes ever.
I had a pair of Chuck Taylors as sixth grade that they were aqua blue. But they were high tops, and this was a style. I think they didn't have it for very long, but when you could fold it down, you folded it down, it was a different color.
I remember that.
And the color, when you folded it down, they were yellow.
Nice.
And my shoelaces were orange.
Oh, my gosh.
They were by far and away the ugliest pair of shoes I've ever had, and I miss them every day.
Oh, yeah.
I loved those shoes. God, I love those shoes. That was also one of those things where I saw them and I'm like, oh, these are so cool. I love them. And then I had to wear them for 2 years. I had to wear them to everything, like literally everything.
Formals.
Seems,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems cool. It seems cool in school. Doesn't for that nice stuff. Doesn't. Yeah. Not as much.
But sometimes, you know, shoes just stick around. I still have a pair from eighth grade.
Wow.
And I wear them for Renaissance festivals because they look... like they could have
from the Middle Ages,
during the Middle Ages.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
That's awesome. So
great. That made my day, actually. Yeah. That made my morning. That's so, I don't know why, but I think that's so cool, Melissa.
That is
that's
cool.
Awesome. This is an interesting one. This is why every little fender bender causes a traffic jam. If you're driving and there's a wreck on the side of the road, do you ever slow down to get a better look? Yeah, a lot of people do. That's rubbernecking. Mm-hmm. It's the name people use for it. And a poll found over 40% of us are likely to do it when we see a crash. 43% said it's something they do often or very often. Everyone else either said they do it occasionally or they don't drive. One more stat, the same poll asked about road rage. 19% of Americans, around 1 in 5, said that driving angry is a regular thing for them.
Yikes.
That's rough.
Yeah. Wow.
That is rough.
Driving angry. That just sounds bad.
Well, and especially if you live in a urban setting that's where traffic is stressful. I could see that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of this stems for me because I've experienced very little of this in central Wisconsin, a little bit here and there, but not whole much. I can remember an accident when I was young on the bridge and people slowing down to see it and everything.
Yeah.
But I saw so much of this in Chicago
kid.
Yeah. And it makes me sick. It makes me. You're the people that watch Faces of Death. You're the people that the reason why the news starts every news segment with a horror story or a shooting or something like that. That you're the reason why. Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm sounding blunt or mean, but this is one of those ones I have no time for. Have you never seen an accident before in your life? Did you not know cars could do this? Did you not know this was a possibility? Go the speed limit.
Well, because we know
give these people their grace. I've been the kid sitting on the sidewalk while people are slowly driving to see my father, you know, and being pulled away in an ambulance and everything. While you're gawking at us like we're on TV, we're not. We're human beings. Move on. You wouldn't want somebody doing that to you. You wouldn't want your loved one sitting there being brought into an ambulance in your heart and your throat and everything. And you're sitting there looking over to the side and here's all these looky-loos just staring, like practically causing another accident because they want to see this accident. Grow up. What disgusting part of your brain needs to see this? I have no time for it.
Yeah, well, because that's what they're looking for in an accident. They're not looking to see, you know, is the car all right? No, they, you know, say maybe blood or someone, you know, mangled or something like that. It's usually not for a altruistic reason, let's say.
You think these EMTs, these firefighters, these people that are working on the side there need that?
No.
You think they need that attention? No. Are they waving to you? Are they? Sorry, Melissa, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say I usually slow down because it's an accident.
And oh, yes, for sure.
You want to be safe driving, you know, keep them safe while they're working.
Yeah.
Do I also look? Well, somewhat, because it's one of those things that you just are drawn to looking at.
Right.
But yes, some people definitely take it to an excess and are inappropriate.
I think there's a difference between looking and gawking.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I hope I'm making it clear. I'm talking about gawking. I'm not talking about you keeping your eyes on the road and being observant of all the things going on the road. That's called smart driving.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that makes perfect sense, Melissa.
Yeah.
Obviously, you should slow down. You should take your time around an accident because you don't know you don't know all the factors.
Yeah.
Especially on a two-lane road or something like that.
Yep.
I hope I'm being specific enough to talk about the gawkers and everything.
Yeah,
and the people that, I mean, are literally like going 5 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour row, you know, or something like that.
Right.
Just so they can get a better peek.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, go watch a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a safety thing for the EMTs. I've known of EMTs who have gotten killed the side of a road at a call because people drove too fast, didn't see him, whacked dead. I mean, that's a real danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. You see how upset Seth is. He knocked his microphone around.
Oh, my God.
Getting wild over there, guys.
We got some great things lined up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Going to touch on a little bit of entertainment news. We got to talk about Dick Van Dyke and Paul McCartney and Dolly Parton. So we're going to do an entertainment segment from the 80s or 60s or something like that.
We've got the oldies coming in here.
We've got some Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. We're going to catch you up on our local honor coverage over the weekend of our shows, as well as talking about Wisconsin Badgers basketball and the NIT tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, all of that pales in comparison to what we kick off with our friends at the Southland County Humane Society and our pet of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It is coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.